This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 28th, 2025. And it is, another beautiful day to have you here up north. What are the odds? We have a great winning streak going here. A beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for starting your day right here. I've got some questions for you. Do you have all the information you need to vote in the upcoming primary election? I have a follow-up. Did you know that there is an upcoming primary election in Wisconsin? And my follow-up to that would be, do you want to know more about the upcoming primary election? Well, lucky you, here I am with more. You've heard about the big state Supreme Court race, and we'll talk about that this morning as well. But there is not a primary for that race. The general election will be April 1st. Between conservative Brad Schimmel and Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. And I said more about that in a minute. However, there is also a race for state superintendent of public instruction. And that's the job that Tony Evers had before he became governor, for example. And Jill Underley is the incumbent. She is running for a second term as state superintendent of public instruction. But there are two other challengers. And so with three candidates, there will be a primary on February 8th, we're going to look at that calendar because I want to say the date, and then I go, wait, are you sure, Pat? Because it's early in the morning. It is February 18th, 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today is when those three candidates will face off, and because it's a nonpartisan race, it's just that the top two vote-getters chance. And we are talking next week to at least two, if not all three, of the candidates for state superintendent. We will be talking to the incumbent, Jill Underley, next week, Tuesday morning at 7:30. We'll be talking to one of the challengers, Jeff Wright, on Wednesday morning of next week at 7:05. And we are still working with the folks at Brittany Kinzer's campaign to nail down a date to interview her. So those three will face off on February 18th. Now, if you want to know more information about voting, where to vote, what else is on your ballot, maybe there are some local nonpartisan races, go to myvote.wi.gov, find out more about getting yourself registered and all prepared to vote. So there you go. We start the morning off with a little public service announcement. Let's see, on the program today, well, it's Tuesday. We talked to a couple of my Up North News colleagues. We'll talk to social media manager Sharita Booker and community editor Christina Laurie. We talk on Tuesdays about the stories and the posts that Wisconsin's been talking about most of the past week. To no one's surprise, across Wisconsin, we're all still telling stories about the late, great Bob Uecker. Just 2 days after the Brewers broadcasting legend would have turned 91 years old. So we'll talk a bit about that today. It also seems, looking ahead to our second hour, like President Trump has proposed some new kind of tariff like every day that he's been in office so far. This is day 9. Some of them are happening. Some of them have just been bluster and haven't turned into something real. But things are also a little different this time as other nations are better prepared to strike back against the U.S. quickly if Donald Trump ignites another trade war. And dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser will join us at 7:30 to talk about the impact on Wisconsin farming, exports, frankly, the impact on all of us if things go sideways once again with a Donald Trump-inspired trade war. We'll talk to Chad Holmes as well from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. His program follows this one at 8 o'clock. up there in the Wausau area and on the Civic Media app. And it's on the Civic Media app where you can follow us. You can call into the show. You can text the show all by using that Civic Media app that you can download and listen to all the stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Or to reach our show here, you can call or text us directly, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Love to get those text messages there and the comments on Facebook and YouTube. And we may show them up on screen on our social media video feeds. You can email the show as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You can also go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the stations around Wisconsin, the shows, and all things Civic Media. 6 a.m. temperatures at the bus stop look like this. It's 23 here on Lake Wissota, 22 in Hayward, Amory 26, Wausau 19, La Crosse 20, Wisconsin Rapids 21, Green Bay's at 24 degrees, Madison 25. It's 21 in Waukesha, and it's 27 degrees at Radio Park in Racine, where we find one Greg Bach standing by. Mr. Bach, you are in a sweatshirt with sleeves today?
I got sleevey sweatshirts.
I was just about to make the comment of how much we would have complained about temps in the 20s not that long ago.
Yeah.
And yet now, after last week, temps in the 20s feel just downright balmy. And here we are wearing long sleeves again today, which tells me spring's coming, that we're acclimating. We're going to be ready for those warmer temperatures when they finally get here.
I'm always ready for 50s and 60s. Like, that's my sweet spot right there. 70s, okay. After that, it gets a little too warm. And then below in the 40s, you're like, it can be, if there's no wind, you're like, this is fine. But the moment the wind starts, like, I took Maybell to the dog park yesterday. It was 41 degrees, but the wind was out. So as soon as we got there, like, this was a bad idea.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. And that's... That's life here. Again, it's not fires, it's not earthquakes, it's not hurricanes, but we have these.
But darling, it's chilly.
I get a little chilly. Where's my shawl? I need a shawl at the dog park. No, so yeah. Brittany Merlot is hopefully wrapping up. I don't remember what she said she was doing for her time off, but I hope it's a lot of fun. And
I bet you it includes an activity that's more extreme than I'm comfortable with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That is her way. She's our little daredevil. So we'll find out more about that. I think tomorrow we have her back.
I won't. So.
Oh, wait a minute. Is today? This is the intersection. Brittany comes back tomorrow, but Greg will be gone.
I'm gone for good, folks. Goodbye. It was nice
knowing
everyone.
No, bye. Not for good. No, bye. No. You're coming back. No. No.
Okay.
And then about the time Greg comes back is when I take off.
Exactly.
And Kristen was gone before that. We will eventually get the whole gang back together in one box on your computer screen if you're watching the show.
It's like
your radio box soon.
It's like Game of Thrones seasons 3 through 5, where like they're like, all right, well, we're going to go on a journey, and they don't see each other for decades.
Yeah, no dragons involved in this one. Beaches, by and large, or other fun activities.
Barbecue.
Oh, that always works.
Oh, yes,
I'm ready
barbecue.
For that as well. Yeah.
Barbecue.
So yeah, that's right. So you've got yours coming up. That's going to be, we'll compare notes.
All right.
It'll be great. All right. Sounds good. Coming up across Civic Media today on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, former U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn will be holding a news conference today at the state capitol in Madison in the same room where the fake electors met. Maggie will then talk to him on her show about Trump pardoning some 1,500 criminals who beat him and other law enforcement officers throughout the day-long attack on the U.S. Capitol. Harry Dunn also has thoughts on Attorney General candidate Brad Schimmel, who had been whining that the insurrectionists weren't getting special treatment. That's all coming up in the 2 p.m. hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. At 3 o'clock, she'll be talking to Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance on Medicaid expansion as a priority for small businesses, because they want to find and retain good workers, and that gets a lot easier when there's a level playing field and folks can access stable, affordable health insurance. So all of that coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show at 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can sign up for our unabashedly Wisconsin news over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe at the top of our homepage. In today's newsletter, Christina Laurie asks, how long does it take for a new activity, like regular workouts, to become a habit? Does it take days or weeks or months? The answer is somewhere in the middle there, and we'll hear more about that or learn more about that in Christina's newsletter. She also introduces you to Pat Giles, a Wisconsin gym owner and past winner of America's Most Inspiring Trainer. And he'll talk about favorite techniques to stay focused on your exercise plan. So that's coming up in our newsletter today, and you can sign up for future editions. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe. Let's see, a little. Here's a question from Tony on YouTube. Will Bach and the Doc make a return? Yes. Yes, they will. Come on back for that when I step away in a little under 2 weeks here. Quick check on sports coming up on 6:17 here. The Bucks were winners in Utah last night, 125-110. Giannis and Damian Lillard each scored 35 points. The Bucks have now won 9 of their last 11, and they traveled right from Salt Lake out to Portland, where they will take on the Trailblazers tonight, and then they will take a couple of days off to come home. The next game will be Friday at home. In the college ranks, the Badger men's basketball team moved up in the AP Top 25 from 18th to 17th ranked in the nation. They next will play at Maryland tomorrow evening. And you can catch that game on several Civic Media radio stations. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock and also on the Civic Media app. The Marquette men's basketball team also moved up in the AP poll from number 10 to number 9. And they are in Indianapolis tonight to play Butler. To no surprise, the Wisconsin Badger women's hockey team is the number one team in the nation still, and they will next play at University of Minnesota Duluth, the sixth-ranked team in the nation. That'll be coming up Friday and Saturday. The men's hockey team will be in the Twin Cities this weekend to take on the Minnesota Gophers Friday and Saturday evenings, and you can hear the coverage of that game on our Wisconsin Rapid station, WFHR. So tune in for all of that. We also have today's history lesson coming up a little bit later on this hour. But coming up next, we'll talk about some of the headlines here. We'll talk a bit about what else Attorney General candidate Brad Schimmel has to say about the insurrectionists who were recently pardoned by President Trump. You would think a law and order so-called candidate like Brad Schimmel would be sharply critical of President Trump for pardoning all these criminals who violently attacked officers. At least you think he would if he truly does back the blue, right? We'll have details in a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You know, there are some days when we have so much going on the history lesson calendar, we can't fit it all in one segment. And so then we give you a few nuggets along the way. Here's one of them. It was on this day that Stevie Wonder released this song, My Cherie Amour. This day when? I had no idea the song was this old. Stevie Wonder released this song on this day in 1969. One of my favorites from Stevie Wonder. And now we're talking with Up North News social media manager, Sherita Booker, about some of the more popular posts of the past week. Hey, Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here. Thanks for all you do to get all of our many, many stories up on social media. All the platforms are out there. Go check out the things that she posts that she and the rest of the team all work on. This week, the more popular posts are pretty predictable, and that's not a bad thing. It's just that some of them are melancholy, but also I think they all center on great things about Wisconsin. So the first one is definitely in both categories. It's a little melancholy, but it's a great thing about Wisconsin. And that would be Leinenkugel's, which is still brewed in Wisconsin, still being brewed in Milwaukee. But for those of us here in Chippewa Falls, it's a melancholy thing. And, you know, the final activity at the brewery was definitely noted by readers of a particular post, Sherita.
Yeah, so the final whistle was recently blown for employees at Leinenkugel's in Chippewa Falls, and Molson Coors has officially shut down the brewery. Chippewa Falls resident Tiffany Wogan heard the whistle and told us she can't believe this is really happening. She also posted to Facebook saying, "I saw an employee walking out as I took a photo and told them I am so sorry this is happening to them and to the city." That post had almost 2,000 likes on our Facebook, and John said, "This is tough. If someone bet me Leinenkugel's would be non-existent in Chippewa Falls, I would have lost everything. Unfortunately, it's out of our hands unless a miracle happens. My heart is with the employees and their families and community. We definitely will give business to the gift shop as always. It won't be the same." And Jenks said, "What a shame. The brewery is historic."
Well, it is, and it'll still be there, perhaps, to be reused or repurposed in some way, shape, or form. And yeah, the Liney Lodge is still there. It's still a... you know, still going to be a tourist attraction, still a nice place to gather. But yeah, that final whistle, and I for folks that don't know, they have just, you know, your old style factory whistle. I live 3 to 4 miles out of town from the brewery, and I hear it every day at noon. Well, you know, heard it every day at noon. And, you know, then it blew at the end of the work shift, and that was it for the brewery. I don't know what else we can possibly say except to be grateful for all the people that put comments on the post, liked it, shared it, as, you know, our own little love letter to Chippewa Falls and, you know, to the Liney's family. You know, now it's been in big brewery hands for a long time now, but, you know, business did what business is going to do. And like you said, we can just hope for the best, you know, in the future here. In the meantime, we can look at other attractions around Wisconsin, and this one is a very popular one. Train rides are still popular. You know, they're not the dominant form of passenger service anymore in the age of the automobile, but for romance and good old-fashioned food, you can't beat the right kind of train ride. Tell the folks about one of the posts we had about a particular train ride.
So the Pizza Train, also known as the Wisconsin Great Northern Railroad in Trago, is a year-round train ride, and guests can choose from fresh baked pepperoni, sausage, or cheese pizza while enjoying a two-hour trip through the deep woods, which also stops at Bean Creek Trestle. Tickets for those are $40 for 13 and up and $32 for children's ages 2 through 12. That post also had more than 1,000 likes, and Denise said, "Gosh, I've never heard about this. Sounds like it would be a real hoot. Got to add it to the list." And a lot of people in the comments were asking for more details, so I went in there and dropped the link to the website so you guys can check that out, buy some tickets, and see all the details.
Oh, that's great. And yeah, I see here now it does run alongside the Namekagon River, which is anybody that drives past that, or maybe some folks, you know, maybe canoe, kayak, or fish on there. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful place to have a train line that would otherwise be completely dead. It would be converted into trails. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but to still have a bit of rail service like this is a really nice thing. Glad people noted. Go back to the post now, find that link that Sherita put in there, and learn more. Maybe you can take a ride on it as well. Well, we have to note again that with the recent passing of Mr. Baseball, it's something that was, again, one of our popular posts because people wanted to remember. They wanted to have some time together to, you know, share some stories or just leak to other people, you know, or just put links to other people to take a look at this post about Bob Uecker. And, you know, folks really did that at one of our posts in particular there, Sherita.
Yeah, so his absence is deeply felt across the community, and fans have come together to honor him, and they've been leaving flowers, Brewers baseball hats, and Miller Lite cans and bottles at his two statues at American Family Field. Some of those bottles have bursted because it is so freezing out here. Sandy said, "Need to rename the field for Uke." And Kelly said, "We'll be forever missed, Mr. Baseball, RIP. And we have tons of Uecker posts within this last week that you guys can check out, honoring him also.
It's been really nice, you know, when you're scrolling, again, we're sad to have lost him, but to be able to see the stories, the photos, live through all the memories is wonderful. And we're going to continue that with our community editor Christina Laurie, coming up in just a little bit here. But Sherita Booker, social media manager, thanks for taking us through the more popular posts of the past week. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
6:28 now, and let's talk for a bit just again about the Wisconsin race for state Supreme Court, a seat that includes a run by former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel, Attorney General during Scott Walker's second term in office. And he said Monday that while he thinks anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement officers should serve their entire sentence, he also did not object to President Trump using his power to pardon some 1,500 rioters last week. Schimmel said that Trump has issued pardons. Presidents have the power to pardon. It's a power they have. I don't object to them utilizing that power. Schimmel's also endorsed in the race by dozens of sheriffs, the Milwaukee Police Association, and others. And it's not just Schimmel. I'd like every one of these groups to also go on record. What do they really think of Donald Trump pardoning all these people who beat police officers? It might say something about their endorsement of Brad Schimmel as well. Christina Laurie's next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back. It is time for The Uplift. Christina Laurie joins us, our community editor. She puts together our newsletter and all kinds of other great posts that you can find on social media. Get the newsletter by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
I think I'm good. I think I'm like a lot of Wisconsin is. You know, it's been a little time now to process the passing of Bob Uecker. We're going to start because, again, you get the melancholy of his passing, but also the knowledge that he didn't just have 90 good years. He was really close to 91 good years, wasn't he?
He was. He was less than 2 weeks shy of his 91st birthday, which would have been on Sunday. But, I mean, what a run over the past 2 weeks we've been celebrating him. And I was thinking about this. It's very rare that a person knows within their own lifetime how loved they are. So many times, you know, we wait until someone dies to celebrate their life. I feel like we've been celebrating him for the past 5 decades. Milwaukee knew how special he was the entire time. And I like to think that he felt all that love too, all along.
Oh, I think he did. And, you know, the stories, I mean, gosh, so many stories where, again, he knew he was a big deal. He knew he was loved, but he did not, you know, act the part of the big deal in many cases. He still had a locker in the locker room where the players were, according to Brian Anderson, who just had some wonderful memories that he gave on MLB TV. You know, never wore a media credential because he never wanted to think of himself as being in the media, that he was part of the team, and he could talk to anybody. People loved to talk to him as well. One of my favorite stories that Brian Anderson talked about was when he was fairly new to the team and getting to know Bob Uecker. And he said, Uecker just kind of more or less ignored him for the first few weeks, you know, as he was getting into the job and everything. You know, they just hadn't really broken the ice yet. And he says, Uecker came up to him one day and said, you want to play golf on such and such, on like Monday or Tuesday? And he says, sure. And Uecker says, okay, well, you make the arrangements. Well, they're in Miami. And he says, BA says he called all over trying to find something. And he finally found, through a connection of a friend, a golf course, but it was closed on Mondays or Tuesdays. And so he arranged to have the guy, to have the course opened and for the chef to come in at the country club. And the whole time, Uecker's playing golf with them and talking to them, and they're getting to know each other. And he's like, I can't believe nobody is out here. It's such a gorgeous day. Why is it such a dead day here today? And he says, you know, that he never told Uecker about it. I don't know how you could have missed it.
It's funny that you said he never wore media credentials, because I actually wasn't going to bring this up because it was just such a tiny encounter. I only met Bob Uecker one time, and it was incredibly briefly. I had just moved here to take a job at a local news station in Madison in January, and I was the morning show reporter, so I got sent out before Brewers opening day, 2.5 months later, to do some on-field interviews. And I was really excited because as a baseball fan, I got to talk to Gorman Thomas, and that was super fun. But also there, just sitting in a chair by himself, I, not being from the state of Wisconsin, was embarrassingly unfamiliar with Bob Uecker at the time, but there he was, just sitting in a chair by himself, not doing any interviews, just being there. I mean, and it was 4:30 a.m. They were going to have a night opening day game, mm-hmm. and he was just going to be there the entire time. That's how much he loved baseball. And you would have never known he was the most important person in that entire stadium. But just a few other stories that have just really touched me. I mean, they keep pouring in as they have been for the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. One that I just think is super cool. Remember last year, all the players on every MLB team, they designed custom bats and cleats for Players Weekend. Mm-hmm. And Christian Yelich, they have to put in their orders way ahead of time. So the weekend happened in late August. So Yelich had already put in his order, but he was injured then. He was unable to use the bats that he had ordered. But his were special bats that had Uecker's face on them, and they said, for Uecker. And so he has this entire locker full of unused bats. So after Bob passed, he took a picture of them and said, I think you guys are going to see these sometime this season. So we have that to look forward to. I thought that was pretty incredible. Also, the story, it's going to give me goosebumps even just repeating it, but Bob's last Brewers home run call mm-hmm. was not just a home run. It was a grand slam, and it was by Jackson Chourio, which just is you couldn't write a story better than that. A 90-year-old announcer who started the franchise calling not just a home run, but a grand slam for the 20-year-old up-and-comer who's going to bring that franchise into the future. I mean, you could hear the emotion in Bob Uecker's voice. We have it posted on our Up North News page if you look under our reels, because it really is chill-inducing.
Another one that I really liked, and some of these go way back, especially to 1964. He was with the Cardinals at that point. They were in the World Series. And to kind of loosen up the team a bit before they took on the Yankees in game two, he strapped on a tuba and was kind of blaring out with his tuba out in the outfield and shagging fly balls with it at the same time. So, I mean, this isn't like some TV shtick or something for the radio booth. This is who he's always been.
And before he did that, earlier that season, when they went in for their team picture, mm-hmm. he decided to hold hands with the player next to him, and they actually got fined for that.
The player, I believe, was Bob Gibson, and that was not going to go over very well in the 1960s for a host of reasons, but of course those two are joking around. They don't care, you know?
Well, and what was so funny too is Bob Gibson, of all people, he was like notorious for not even talking to people. When he made the All-Star team, he would not talk to players on his own team for that game because they were his competitors for the rest of the season. So that's how serious of a guy he was. And that Bob Uecker got him to crack and hold hands for a picture is just amazing. And it also shows the other great thing about Bob is that we all love Bob, and Bob loved everyone. So when it was unpopular in the 60s to be, you know, sitting beside a black player, let alone holding his hand, he was the first one to do that. All the way up to all of the minor leaguers that just come up through the system and may only be on the roster for literal hours. People have always said that Bob makes the intention to introduce himself. He learns their name. He learns how to pronounce it. He knows where they're from. He's asking them questions about their home country. He was just the most inclusive person and really the best ambassador we could have here in Wisconsin, you know, transcending sports.
Oh, without a doubt. And by the way, transcending sports in this way as well, whether you think wrestling is a sport or not. But I was so surprised to see the WWE of all entities. There's a clip out there where the ringside announcers pause, you know, amongst all the, you know, the yelling and the, you know, the whole fracas that's going on in the stands. And you could hear the whole crowd start to quiet as they start talking about Bob Uecker and showing some of his clips from when he would make appearances at WrestleManias from the past. Like, I guess he was in WrestleMania 3, which tells you how far back that goes, you know, that he was there. And I had no idea that he had taken part in some of these things. And you see him wrestling around and, you know, posing shirtless with like Andre the Giant and some others. I never knew that part of him.
Well, so that WrestleMania 3, because you sent that to me, I thought it was so fascinating. So I did a little deep dive on that. And the WrestleMania 3 was back in 1987. The headliners that year were Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. And then Bob did such a good job as being like the guest ring leader or whatever they call it there. He was invited back the following year and he did backstage interviews with them. And that's where you might've seen the famous picture of Andre pretending to choke him. They include that in pretty much every WWE highlight reel ever since. But then like that wasn't even enough. There's a WWE Hall of Fame and Bob Uecker was inducted into it in 2010. So if you think his 2003 Hall of Fame speech was good, I recommend also looking up that WWE one from 2010 because he tells some other jokes that were super funny. And it just is typical Bob. he tells the story, which I actually do think he included in his baseball Hall of Fame speech as well, of how when the Cardinals were giving out their World Series rings at the beginning of the following season, they just threw his into left field. Yeah, and he said he found it by the fifth. Yeah. But he had a funny quip. He said, all the other players had to have their rings handed to them. You know, it's just like so typical Bob.
There was also the time that he was in a Speedo for a photo spread in Sports Illustrated in 2008. And he always referred to it as his swimsuit issue because he was poolside along with Corey Hart and J.J. Hardy. And that photo of him in the Speedo was also put on a T-shirt at one point with all the team wearing it. And he was always, you know, always had, you know, took it in good stride.
Well, we need to point out that this thing that he calls his swimsuit edition, that was accidental. He was just in the back of a picture of Corey Hart playing ping pong. Mm-hmm. And then people zoomed in and was like, is that Uecker in a Speedo? Yes, it is Uecker in a Speedo. So the team actually surprised them then for a road trip. They all had those shirts made. And what was even better, they wore them all under plaid suits. Very reminiscent of 80s Uecker at the time. Mm-hmm. So they all just showed up to their road trip in this Uecker gear and Bob loved it.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, you think of all the broadcast partners that he had, you know, over the years. There was Jim Powell, there was Pat Hughes. Gosh, there was just so many over time that, you know, it's created its own, you know, family tree, if you will, of announcers, people who worked alongside him. And so he had that reputation, you know, just like a Vin Scully, like an Ernie Harwell, I was going to say Harry Carey. Harry's kind of in a different little universe there of his own in Chicago. But, you know, in terms of beloved sportscasters in their hometowns, I mean, Yuka's right up there in terms of the professionalism. He's a funny guy, but the professionalism that he brought to calling a baseball game.
Bob Costas was one that was tremendously impacted by him. And he told an interesting story the other day on the Today Show after Euchre's death. He was saying that he called his last game with Bob at the near the end of last season. He made it a point to make it out there to call a few innings with Euchre. And he was just raving about him, which, of course, like Bob Costas is very esteemed in his own right. He could take the credit himself. He didn't have to say that Euchre shaped him, but he did. And something else he pointed out was that Euchre didn't stay in Milwaukee just because he loved Milwaukee. He stayed there because it was his home. It was his community. And he had a ton of offers from much bigger teams, much bigger markets. He, in the 80s, turned down an offer to go to the Yankees from George Steinbrenner. And he changed that all just because he loves the Brewers. He was a Brave turned Brewer, and he was, you know, it's rare to find that loyalty in sports nowadays.
Oh my gosh, it's almost invisible. So that when you see it, it's such a breath of fresh air, which, by the way, is also part of the reason why Craig Counsell going to the Cubs didn't sit well with some folks, because we kind of had our own little hometown story there. But I don't want to end on a down note.
No, I would love to know Euchre's unfiltered thoughts on that situation.
Well, you know what? Someday over a Miller Lite, we'll all get to hear the story. Yeah. I don't doubt that for one moment. Always appreciate the memories, and folks can always put notes on our social media or in the comment sections if they've got their own Euchre memories that either they like to pass on, or maybe something that that hasn't been shared yet. Maybe, like Christina, you had your own little brush with Euchre for a little bit back in the day. We'd love to hear all about it. Christina Laurie, thanks so much for a little reminiscing. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you later.
You too, and popping a Miller Lite tonight for Euchre sounds like a good plan.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more after this. You're up, North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yes. Me again. And I'm back.
The number one song this day, 30 years ago. Oy. Was by TLC. There's Creep, the number one song this week in 1995. Welcome to today's history lesson on Up North News Radio. It's Tuesday, so let's welcome our weekly guest, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, WJFW-TV.
Mr. The hair Hagen. Bigger every week. You're What's listening that? On the radio, you're missing out.
What do you got going on there?
You know, it just the hair does whatever it wants to in the morning. It's like an organism.
That is, you're right. That's a little different than what we're used to seeing there.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you send it, like, where? I want to find a clip of you on the news, and I just want to see what the hair does for the big screen.
The before and after. Yeah.
I kind of make like a pompadour of sorts for the TV, but it's much smaller, and then it just grows during the night.
It's what we call the mushroom cloud, folks, if you're not watching on Facebook or YouTube. An act of Congress created the Coast Guard on this day in 1915. Happy anniversary to the Coast Guard. The Lego Company patented the design of Lego bricks, still compatible with the bricks used today on this day in 1958. Parents' feet have never been the same for all the times they've stepped on those damn bricks.
I'll take a Lego before I stepped on a Pez dispenser recently, and that...
Oh. I feel like that would just crumble, right?
No.
Oh, no. Nope. Little shards of plastic in your foot, yeah. Let's see. The number one song in the UK on this day in 1984 was by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And there's a story about why we're telling about it, but this is Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Now, because it was a reference to safe sex, the BBC had banned the song from airplay. So needless to say, it went to number one as everybody went out to go get what the thing that had been banned.
Oh, harumph, harumph, harumph. Our harumph. Did not work. Oh, no. It's everywhere now. Ah.
So as it's continuing to climb the charts in the U.S., the number one song in the U.S. this week in 1984 was Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes. Here's our little trivia note. Both songs were produced by a fellow named Trevor Horn, making him the first producer with simultaneous number ones in both countries, but with different acts. On this day in 1959...
That was the nerdiest thing you've ever done.
And I didn't look it up. I just saw it and said, hey, that's interesting. I'll bet somebody would like to hear that. Or mock me for it. I see which way you came down on that. On this day in 1959, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin performed together in Vegas for the first time at the Sands Hotel. They would be joined occasionally by fellow Rat Pack members Sammy Davis Jr., Joey Bishop, and Peter Lawford. It's boy band time. Dan, we're doing both boy bands, NSYNC and Backstreet.
All right. I know very little about both.
All right. Good job for you. Joey Fatone is 48 years old today.
Ugh.
This is NSYNC's Together Again, one of the few where he sang lead on it. Why did you make that noise about Joey Fatone?
Because he's 48.
Yeah, he is 48.
I am a Fatone fan. I am a Fatone. Oh, okay. I love him. All three Big Fat Greek Weddings. But when you listen to this song, you're like, yeah, Joey, you'll definitely get a cut. It won't be on the radio. On the radio.
He just premiered on Broadway, and he's the lead in a new play there. So he's still doing okay.
Yeah.
Alan Alda from MASH, 89 years old today. Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett is 53. And now let's go to the Backstreet Boys. Nick Carter is 45. So, NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys, you firmly come down on the side of you don't really care.
Yeah, that's about it. It's like people think Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
What?
Yeah. Die Hard is a Christmas movie, yes.
I don't really care, you know?
And here comes Tony off the top rope saying, wait a minute, the best boy band is 98 Degrees.
No, actually his exact words are nothing about the best boy band, 90 Degrees. Yeah, nothing because they're not the best boy band, Tony. Get out
know.
Of my... No.
I don't know.
They had two hits.
They did, and they were really good hits.
They're fine.
Weren't the Beatles a boy band at the beginning? Maybe the Beatles are the secret best boy band of all time.
Okay, all right, Dan. I know you like to bring your little pompadour here and try to talk smart. And
let's get back to today's history lesson. I don't want to fight over what's a boy band here. On this day in 1896 in England, the first ever courtroom conviction for a speeding ticket. Walter Arnold of Kent was fined 1 shilling for speeding. How fast was he going, Dan Hagen?
Let's say 10 miles an hour.
Eight miles an hour. Exceeding
8 kilometers.
The equivalent of eight. And the speed limit was 2. The speed limit was 2.
So he was on his horse, I'm assuming. Or
No. In an automobile. The first ever speeding conviction for an automobile in 1896. Yeah.
Wow.
8. Sarah McLachlan, the singer, is 57 years old today.
This album is amazing.
Such a nice voice, and now all you hear is on those stupid animal rescue commercials. Yes. It's just, not that there's something wrong with animal rescue, but it's just her and that song. It's everywhere.
Yep.
On this day in 1985, after an all-night recording session after the American Music Awards, USA for Africa recorded We Are the World to raise funds for Ethiopian famine relief. And 2 years ago today, Miley Cyrus was alone but not lonely in her anthem, Flowers. It would stay number one for 8 weeks. We do remember and memorialize the crew of the shuttle Challenger. The Challenger disaster was this day in 1986. Mm. And this is National Blueberry Pancake Day.
Yeah.
So Dan Hagen, blueberry pancakes, yay or nay?
I would say yay, but I'm not a big pancake guy. Can't have those that much carbs in the morning. You know, go protein, right?
All health, all fitness. This is great. Dan Hagen and his hair. Thanks for visiting.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.